The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step 3, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. We're your destination for electrical products. Keep yourself safe and protected with new GFCI outlets from Legrand. They're available in a variety of finishes. Now at Menards, save big on all Legrand outlets and dimmer switches. View our entire selection of Legrand products today on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news. Thursday is the new Friday on the United Stand because it's positive street all the way. We've got so much to talk about this morning. An Adam Wharton transfer boost. We'll also be talking about why we're top of the league, why fifth place will get Champions League football, why Fenerbahce are in for Xerxes, and why Manchester United will spend big this summer. Lots to get into. Plus, we've got Ben Jacobs live at 2 o'clock on the show. That's going to be very interesting. And 8 o'clock tonight, we have got the live preview for Fulham. We like doing a live preview. So lots to get into, as always. But we're going to start off with this Adam Wharton transfer boost. And I think this is why you should be subscribed and watching That's Football on the regular. If you don't know about That's Football, it's basically our sister channel, or brother, or them. And basically, it's all football instead of United. So we were on That's Football last night, and we saw an amazing game. Jose Mourinho, That's Football heritage. But yesterday I did a video about Liverpool and Adam Wharton, and it was an update from Ben Jacobs. Now, it wouldn't be something I would have mentioned yesterday on here. So basically, Liverpool have apparently completed a deal for Adam Wharton for him to sign in the summer. Now, Adam Wharton is on the three list for Manchester United, and Elliot Anderson, Adam Wharton and Carlos Baleba. However, the update from credible Liverpool sources is that they haven't completed any deal for Adam Wharton in the summer. And Ben Jacobs actually said that the situation with Adam Wharton is that Liverpool are not in negotiations with Adam Wharton and are highly unlikely to be in negotiations with him anyway, because he is not in the position that they're actually looking to strengthen in the summer. They're more looking for a goal-scoring midfielder, more like a Morgan Rogers. So that essentially rules Liverpool out of any deal for Adam Wharton as things stand, which for us is a real big positive, because in the race to buy midfielders this summer, I think we're going to have to spend around £100 million. We could be breaking our own transfer record here when we think about Paul Pogba, £89 million. We might be going very, very close to that. Now, obviously, that's something Sir Jim Ratcliffe doesn't want to do at the end of the day, but we may well need to do that, because Elliot Anderson is going to cost upwards of, around £100 million, unless Ben Jacobs is right about that release clause or whatever it was he spoke about a few weeks ago. And same with Adam Wharton, he's probably going to cost £70 to £80 million. And Carlos Baleba is probably going to cost £70 to £80 million as well. So three players, take your pick, put them in what order you want. I'll do that in a minute. But essentially, if Liverpool are out of the race for a midfielder like that, that leaves Man City, who probably go for Elliot Anderson. Not sure Chelsea will go for anyone. I'm not sure Arsenal will go for anyone. And if we've got Champions League football, that puts us right at the start, top of the queue again. Now, look, obviously you can't rule out Bayern Munich, Real Madrid. But there's three good Premier League options. Well, there's three options that Man United want to go for. We might need to go for two of them as well. So the less competition there is, the better it is for us. I'm sort of feeling this morning, and I agree with Ollie. I do agree that Anderson is the better option, but you've got to look at it and go, if Elliot Anderson goes to Man City, and there's no reason to believe that he will, and there's no reason to believe that he won't. But if Elliot Anderson did go to Manchester City, that's the number one for me. He is the one that this season, when we've been looking for that midfielder, has passed the tests the most. He's been the most consistent player. He's the best all-round player. He's definitely the best of the three. Carlos Baleba has struggled. Wharton's decent, but I don't think he's up at the level of Elliot Anderson at the moment. So you're probably going to pay around the same for all three of them. I mean, I've been told that there's not going to be a lot of difference in the three players, really, when it comes to price and wage. There won't be. Obviously, some people might offer them more. So if they're around the same price, there's only one winner. It's got to be Elliot Anderson. However, I'm not convinced we're going to do that. So maybe it will be Wharton, who, look, he's going to tick a lot of the boxes for United. I don't know. I don't want to talk about a player that's highly likely to sign for United in a bad way. I'm not sure. I think Anderson's the one. Anderson's the one for me. I think Baleba and Wharton I'd be excited about, but I have my reservations. However, I do think it is good news that Liverpool are not looking at Wharton and not looking at that type of a midfielder. They're more looking at an attacking midfielder, because the least competition we have, or the less competition we have, the better. Because if you think about it, if Wharton did go to Liverpool and Man City did sign Elliot Anderson, we need to sign two midfielders. All right, we're going to sign Baleba. I think it's bloody obvious. But where else do you go? And Baleba's not the big hitter. Baleba's a little bit of a, will it work out, won't it work out? So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know where we go beyond those three players anyway. There are people like Manu Kone, Angelo Stiller, who I would be more than happy to go with. But I think a lot of fans are like, well, it's a risk taking non-Premier League players. I don't think it necessarily is. There's a back catalogue of good players. But yeah, look, I think the less competition we have, the better. And also, I was reading, so I think it was Stefan Borsson, the financial expert. I read an article from him this morning, and it was about how Man United are already putting it out there that removing Casemiro is going to save them £15 million a year because of his wages. Yeah, okay. What's it going to cost to replace Casemiro? There's a lot of people that get lost in, oh, we're going to save £15 million a year on Casemiro. Yeah, are we just ignoring what we've spent on Casemiro as well? We've spent £15 million a year on Casemiro for the last 3 years, and we spent £65 million buying him. So that money has still been spent. Like, it's not like, I think people go, we're going to save £15 million, like it's a bonus £15 million that we haven't been spending a shitload of money for 3 years. And also, what's a bonus £15 million? You know what I mean? Like, people go, oh, Casemiro going saves us £15 million a year. Well, it does. It does. But there's no sell-on value. It's actually, if you look at the situation of Coutinho, Liverpool, they saved his wages and they pocketed £150 million. That helps rebuild a team. With Casemiro, you save his wages, but you don't get anything else. You're not getting a transfer fee. That £60 million that we spent is dead. So, yeah, there's £15 million there, but we're going to have to invest. What I'm basically saying is that people go, oh, we're saving £15 million a year in wages. Well, 250 grand a week is £1 million a month, and that's 12 million. I would say we're probably going to have to pay about 250 grand a week to replace Casemiro. So that's a big portion of his wage saved, gone on the next wage. And then you've got to find the 60, 70, 80 million pounds to replace him. So all in all, you're talking about a £100 million package to replace just Casemiro. And people are dancing around going, well, we're saving £15 million a year. And I don't think they think it through what we've actually spent on Casemiro. When he walks out the door for nothing, that money's been spent. It's still gone down on the books. Trust me, the Glazers look at stuff like that. And his wages doesn't buy the next player, does it? So there's going to have to be a major investment there. And probably on two as well. So look, I think the good news is that potentially our three targets, we may only be up against two clubs. So we should be able to get one of them, maybe two of them. And we're going to have to spend big. I'm going to have to spend big, aren't we? Hi, Mark. The best option is get Stiller and get between Wharton or Anderson. Love your content, says Arshan. Well, I think there's look, on Stiller, I don't have anything new at the moment. There's a little bit on Luis Enrique I want to talk about as well as manager of Manchester United, because apparently he's in talks with a new contract at PSG. So that probably rules him out. We'll talk about that in a moment, though. But I think with Angelo Stiller, I would be very happy with him. I think Bruno might need to go for Stiller to come in. They can play in the same team. They can actually play in the same team now, actually. I'm more thinking of the Stiller connections when we were playing the 3-4-3. So you can keep Bruno and get Stiller. But Stiller would be somebody that's taking corners. He's very creative. He's also, you know, a very good midfielder. So I'd be very happy with Stiller. And we still do have Favel here, who's going to be a big pusher of a deal like that. So Stiller and Anderson, I'd be very happy with. Stiller and Wharton or Belaba would be decent as well. So we're still in for Stiller. I would say that's still a possibility. Red Devil Packer says, Casado or Xabi in deal with Barcelona for Rashford? Well, I'm sure you watched the show with Morge yesterday, and whilst a swap deal, Barcelona can get very creative with their levers. I don't know whether they'd be allowing any of those players to leave to bring Rashford in, although he did score again yesterday. Bow United says, I've watched all of the shows for the last months. I'm getting married today, so this is the first day I'm going to be missing the evening show. Cheers, guys. Have a fantastic day, everyone. Well, can we get a congratulations to Bow United on his marriage today? It's a great day. Enjoy it. Where's the invite? But no, seriously, have a great day, you and your partner. Amit says, Belaba, Anderson and Rodgers could be the game changer. Never going to happen, but yeah. Where would you put Stiller on that midfield list, says Slazy? I mean, for me, he's in the top five. He's definitely in the top five. Desiree Labonte welcomes the members club. What a name. Thank you for getting your badge in. Good morning, Mark, in the chat. What a signing it would be, says Chris Johnson. Morning. And fresh haircuts, says Ian O'Connor. Yeah, I've gone a bit shorter for 2025. I've moved through the autumn with a slightly longer haircut. I'm going a bit shorter on top this time. Bit of a change. Yeah. People very rarely notice my hair when it gets cut, though. I used to be able to, when I was at work, I could have long hair, like, you know, David Beckham, late 90s, and I could come back in with a Roy Keane haircut and no one had ever bloody know. 2026, sorry. People very rarely notice my hair. So well spotted. Patrick Lynch says, this midfielder transfer once again spotlights how good, bad Wilcox, Favel are. The scouting and the price for who we're looking at is obvious. The three players mentioned are good, but fans could have picked them. Yeah, I mean, look, there's a few bits I want to get in, but Patrick's a very generous super chat and makes some very good points. And it is worth pausing for a moment to say that I think some people talk about our recruitment like it's good. I saw somebody yesterday saying, oh, Ineos are finally proving themselves. I thought, how much are they paying you for that? I mean, I'm not saying they are paying anybody, but what I'm saying is why would your mouth say Ineos are doing a good job? Like, why would you do that? There's a protest on Sunday because they're doing a shit job. They've done really bad, stuff in 2 years. That they're not doing a good job at all. It's an open goal that they have missed multiple times. And Patrick is right. When you look at the recruitment, there's nothing in it that makes me go, wow, I couldn't do that. Mbeumo from Brentford. Oh, that's a real shock. I can't believe they've signed Mbeumo for £65 million. So they paid Brentford what they want for a player that did really well in the Premier League, who's an attacker. Whoa, God. Ineos are cooking, mate. And Cunha as well. Cunha, for paying the release clause for Cunha, who's had an amazing season at Wolves. I mean, nobody thought of that. Who else have we bought? Sesko. Ooh, Sesko. As our sixth choice striker, we've gone for somebody that Arsenal didn't want. Oh, bloody hell. This is getting even better. So look, I think there are certain players I'd give them some credit for. I thought Yoro, whilst obvious, we did well to beat Real Madrid, although we paid for it. Yoro cost 50 million quid. We did pay for it. Le Mans, an intelligent signing. I like that one. There has been some good, but I think there's also a lot of obvious ones. And I think Patrick makes a great point about the midfield. Do you not think, or what do you think about this? We've known it's Anderson, Wharton and Belaba since September. Didn't do anything in January. We've known since September our top three midfield targets are Wharton, Anderson and Belaba. There's nothing subtle about it. There's no secret talks. We've not gone in silently to the club and gone, we'll give you this now. I mean, I'll tell you for free, like, out of all three of those players, are they going to be cheaper in the summer than a little bit of secret negotiation for January? I don't know. You know, is Wharton's price going to be... And this is worth just pondering on as well. If there's competition for Elliot Anderson, his price will go up. The same with Wharton. Was there something we could have done this month to bring it forward and get it done and make sure we got it done? Belaba's a weird one. I still think Belaba in January was possible. I don't understand how you can negotiate in the summer and then ignore it in January and then go back in the summer again. But making your targets obvious isn't necessarily a good idea. And United, I mean, when it comes to negotiations, we're not very good. Everybody knows our business. I mean, look at Mbeumo last year. I was flying to New York on like the 2nd of June. Man United in talks with Mbeumo. Didn't sign till mid-July. And we paid them what they wanted. So we're not very good at negotiating. I really don't think so. Do you think Hayden Hackney would be a smart move, says Pops? Well, you do have the connection with Carrick.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And Middlesbrough. So that could happen. The issue going big on Wharton and Belaba is that we probably need three midfielders if Ugarte goes. Combined with Maynou, they're all prospects as well, says James. Strong feeling Belaba and Anderson are coming next season, says Amit. I would not be unhappy with those two. I wouldn't be unhappy with those two. There's an element of inexperience in there, which United seem to love. They're all going to be way under 24, but yeah, I wouldn't be unhappy with that. Goldfridge 1 says, we need three midfielders as I see it. Casemiro is gone. Ugarte is likely to follow. If we make Europe, Maynou plus two signings isn't enough yet. And even if you bring a youth player in, it's another young player, isn't it? What happened to our pursuit of Edison? Surely he would be a good option for us. Well, Stephen, I wouldn't rule any of these players out. As I said, Manu Kone, Angelo Stiller. I wouldn't rule out Edison. He has been a player in the past that we've looked at. So I wouldn't rule it out, Stephen. It's just very quiet at the moment. Liverpool and Spurs are third and fourth in the Champions League, says Marlowe. The quality of that league must be absolute pants. Let's go and win it next year. It's a funny one, isn't it? I got asked that question. Well, let me bring that in. It's a good point from Marlowe. So positive news, two little bits of statistics this morning to bring you. Positive news number one, fifth place in the Premier League will get Champions League football. Some people are going, well, it's not for certain yet. We're something like 17 wins ahead of third place in the coefficients league. So Basically, how it works is there's this coefficients league of all the European nations competing in the Champions League. And the top two, at the end of the season, get an extra Champions League spot like we did last year in the Prem. You accumulate points by how you perform. There are nine English teams in Europe, including the Conference League and the Europa League, and they're all still in it. Nobody else has got perfection like that. I think Germany in second place have lost a couple. Italy have lost a couple. So we're something like 19 wins ahead of third place. So all the English clubs that need to get knocked out in the first knockout round, and then the third place team and the second place team would have to go really deep into the tournament. So it's the percentage chance of fifth place in the Premier League being a Champions League spot is probably over 90%, if we're being honest. Some people even would say 99%. It's absolutely nailed on. And this was something that the rest of Europe was complaining about, because they're basically saying that in the Europa League, the English teams are winning it. So that's another Champions League spot. It was Spurs against United last year, and I'm sure Villa and Forest, is it, could do quite well this year. And then in the Champions League extra spots, England are always going to get one of those spots. So it's top five in the Prem, and there's an extra spot for the Europa League. So we've got six teams in the Champions League this year, and there's a good chance we'll have six next year if Villa win the Champions League. Although I don't know how it works, because Villa will be in the top four. But look, by the by, this is great for Manchester United, because I think if it's top four, it becomes problematic, and we're not in Europe, we're not in the Europa League, so we can't go through that route. So it's looking absolutely nailed on that the top five are going to be in the Champions League this year. And where we are at the moment, I think the top five will be the top five. I think it will be Arsenal, City, Villa, us, Chelsea, in whatever order. So it's really good, really good. And it's strange in a way, because you're looking at Chelsea and Newcastle and Spurs, and you're, in a way, you're looking at them and going, I'm glad they've done well, because it helps us out. It really, really does. So look, that's a positive. In a way, it's fortuitous. Having said that, I still think if United get top five this year, it's probably not what I was expecting at the start of the season, and it's not what a lot of people were expecting. I think we probably expected Liverpool to be a lot higher, which would have pushed us out into sixth. So, and maybe Newcastle as well. So it is a positive. On another positive, I have to mention another infographic I got sent by producer Greg. This one might take you back a little bit. So since Christmas Day 2025, so a few weeks ago, Manchester United are top of the league. So not just the two wins from Carrick, also the draw for Fletcher, and then three previous games, 50% of it's Amrim, to be fair, isn't it? Because six games, three wins, three draws, and no losses since Christmas Day. We're top of the league. We're top of the Premier League in the last six games. So it just shows you the two wins have been very, very good. But even if you take in the last six, we're top, and we haven't lost a game in six. We've got 12 points in our last six Premier League games, which puts us top. Arsenal are second with 11 points, and Fulham are actually third with 11 points. So two form teams go together next on Sunday. Fulham are in third with 11, and we're top with 12. Brentford are fourth with 10, Newcastle 10, Villa 10, and then, I mean, look, we're actually in good form at the moment. We're not going to win the league. We're not winning the league, James. But we are in good form at the moment. And I want to answer that question about the Champions League as well. How are Spurs in the top six for the Champions League after eight games? And how are Liverpool in there? And how are all the English teams doing so well in the Champions League? And yet people say the Premier League's bad this year. Well, I think the Premier League is bad. I mean, let's not lie to ourselves. I think the Premier League is bad this year, isn't it? I do. I think it's really bad. I think every kickoff is a long ball. Everyone's doing long throws. Everyone's fouling the goalkeeper on corners. Everybody's gone very set piece. But it doesn't make it not effective. The rest of Europe, I mean, I remember watching Liverpool play Frankfurt. Frankfurt scored an absolutely brilliant goal. From back to front, brilliant goal. You'd be so proud of it. Liverpool go and score two corners and the game's over. And that's been happening a lot. Like, the physical percentage game of the Premier League is causing a lot of people problems in Europe. Now, some would say, well, shut up, it's effective.
Yeah, but I look at Man United beating Arsenal at the weekend and I think that was a win for Man United. I also think it was a win for football. I mean, okay, we had to be compact, we had to defend, but if you look at the goals we scored, they're all open play. They're all goals to be proud of. Dorgu's goal is magnificent and Cunha's goal magnificent. That's the football I want to see. And whether that's Michael Carrick, Luis Enrique or Thomas Tuchel, that's the football I want to see. I don't want to see Dalot running over and drying a ball and launching it into the box. I don't want to see people nudging goalkeepers to get deflections from corners. I want to see Cunha do that. I want to see Dorgu do that. So I think that's why we're doing well in the Champions League this year, is this percentage game, statistical game of the Premier League is probably causing European teams problems because they don't really play like that. And I think we're overpowering teams with that analytical stuff. I mean, Arsenal have signed a bloody long throw-in specialist, haven't they? I mean, it makes you want to throw up. So look, one thing I would say about United in the last couple of games is that, yeah, we might be playing a little bit deep, but let's see how we play on Sunday. But it's been entertaining. It's been a lot better. Amit says, next season, Mainu equals attacking midfielder. I hope not. Anderson equals centre midfield and Belabor equals DM. If we do play 4-3-3 or 4-3-2-1, surely we're up for title grab. Also, Bruno should stay next two or three seasons. Amit, you are so full of shit sometimes. So you're playing a midfield three with Mainu as a 10, but you're keeping Bruno and you're saying we're going to do a title grab next year. Well, I like the positivity on a Thursday. As I said, the weekend starts here, but I think you've got more holes in that than a Hedgehog's Lilo, if I'm being honest. Seth says, most we're going to get this month is Mainu signing the new contract. Even with the Champions League next season, the question will be idiots spend as they promise. I think in relation to that, it's probably not something to worry about too much at the moment, because first tiny steps is to get into the Champions League. And I can't wait. I can't wait to see United in that format. It's horrible, isn't it? It's like being invited to, it's like being not invited. I mean, unfortunately, this has never happened to me, but it's like there being a really good party and you don't get invited and you're looking at it on, you know, Insta stories and stuff and it looks really good, but you're not in it. And I feel like the Champions League format at the moment is so good and we're not in it. And I just want to be in it. You know, watching it last night was just incredible. I really enjoyed Chelsea Napoli. Fair play to Rasmus. He scored a good goal. He's doing well there. Good to see that. McTominay as well. But Chelsea got the result. Fair play. And then every game's finished apart from Benfica, Real Madrid. And Benfica are going out unless they can score another goal against Real Madrid when they're already winning 3-2 and then the goalkeeper scores. And it's just like, this is, I want United to be part of this. I really, really do. But the projection is a fair point from Seth. This squad now is barely getting by in the Prem. Now, that's a good point. This squad is barely able to deal with the Premier League season. Considering we've played one Carabao Cup game and got knocked out and one FA Cup game and got knocked out, we're playing basically third. We're just playing Premier League. And we still have struggled at times with that. Even though we've got a squad more than capable, we have still picked up injuries. We have still had problems. So look at next season. Are we going to get knocked out in the first round of the FA Cup and the Carabao Cup again? I would hope not. And plus another 8 to 16 Premier League Champions League games. That's an increase of about 20 games, which is doubling up what we're doing this year because we're only playing 40. So we're going to increase our games by about 50% next season. Well, we're not going to increase our squad by 50%, are we? So it's going to be a big adaptation next year. And the Glazers traditionally spend to get in the Champions League. And when you're there, they don't spend. So it'd be interesting what we do. Why do you want Carrick in, says Brett? I didn't know I did. Shane, thank you so much. Welcome to the Members Club. You're an absolute legend. And James, we've done that one as well. Right, talking about Carrick, let me talk about... Stuart says, when's the Christmas tree going back up? You're really late on this, Stuart. I'm not putting the Christmas tree up. I was going to do it, and then I was like, it's bad luck to put your Christmas tree up early. I'm not doing it. If I put the Christmas tree up and we lose to Fulham, everyone will go, it's because you put the Christmas tree up. So I'm not doing it. Amit's just gifted 20 memberships. He's definitely in a good mood this morning. Legend, Amit. Another legend, Mojo, is here with a super chat. He says, whenever we've qualified for the Champions League, the Glazers haven't backed the manager. I hope Ineos can do better, which is a big doubt. Yes. Well, look, you would expect some expenditure in the summer from United. The Champions League is going to help us. There's no doubt about that. Chris says, what if this Premier League season is more competitive because no team is guaranteed to roll over and get smashed, even the relegation contenders? Well, I don't agree with that, Chris. I don't think it's more competitive. I don't think the quality of the Premier League is good this year. There's very few teams playing well. I think Man City are the best team, but even they get beat. I just don't think there's a dominant, good footballing side in the Premier League. There's not one. And sometimes you've got three or four. I just don't think there's a good team in the Premier League this year. I think Arsenal will win it on... Well, we went to Arsenal and we deserve to beat them. Arsenal's strength is their defence and their ability to score even if you park the bus against them. They're not a free-flowing, good attacking side. They move the ball really slow. They're very pragmatic. There's just not a good team in the Premier League this year, which is great for us. I mean, look at how bad Liverpool are. Look at how bad Chelsea have been. Look at how bad Newcastle are. Even Villa, at times you watch them and you go, how are they third? Yeah, it's a low quality Premier League in my opinion, but that's really good for us. Really good for us. I mean, look, some people call Amorim a fraud. He was 3 points off Champions League when he got sacked. Does that not... I mean, surely Amorim outers agree with me on that. It's a low Premier League standard because Amorim, who apparently was a fraud, was 3 points off fourth. I mean, how was that happening week in, week out? Anyway, going back to the question about Carrick, bit of a new story this morning coming in and potentially not a good one. So it's coming in from Le Parisien, which is French, funnily enough. PSG have opened negotiations to extend manager Luis Enrique's contract with his current deal at the Champions League holders, set to expire in 2027. Now, look, I don't know where the Enrique to Manchester United stuff really started. There was talk that he was out of contract in the summer. I don't know whether that was ever... Well, it clearly wasn't ever true. I think Luis Enrique at Manchester United would be a dream.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I was watching them play last night. He's got an absolute lockdown on, and the same at Barcelona. He knows how to manage big clubs. He knows how to develop youth. He knows how to play good football and he knows how to win. Sometimes you can overcomplicate the core principles of Manchester United. Yes, you've got to focus on youth. Yes, you've got to play good football. And yes, you've got to know how to win at the highest level. Well, Luis Enrique ticks all those boxes, doesn't he? So for me, he probably is the number one. And also he's young enough that he could come into Manchester United and run a dynasty. And at PSG, you're never there for that long. Like, look at the managers they've sacked. Ancelotti, Emery, Tuchel. They sack managers. So it's never been a long-term job, PSG. And maybe Enrique will extend his contract and it won't be easy for Man United. But I do think that you're going to have fantasies. And Luis Enrique, I think if we're being completely honest, is probably up there with Emery and Ancelotti as fantasy picks for Man United. I think we should go for them. I think we should be going for the fantasy picks because the reason they're fantasy picks is because they're the best. And you might not agree with that three, but in my opinion, those three, for different reasons, would be the top three. Can we get them? No, we can't. Options. But we should probably try because I think Luis Enrique is perfect for Manchester United. He says he'd be disastrous because he won't take the Glinios bullshit. And ultimately, that's the problem, isn't it? I think there is a barrier to these types of managers because of the ownership that we've got. I mean, would somebody that's worked at Barcelona and PSG want to work with Jason Wilcox? I mean, it's like driving a Lamborghini and a Ferrari and then being given a three-wheel Reliant Robin, isn't it? That's broken down and got a puncture. It's like, why would I drive that? It's shit. So look, that's a very good point. We spoke about this last night on the Carrick video. Carrick suits this because he'd be grateful for the job and therefore he'd be respectful of the board and the owners. That's the sort of coach we're going to end up with, a head coach that's grateful for the job. Glasner would be grateful for the job. Iriola would be grateful for the job. But they've got to go for that, if we're being blunt, puppet type of manager, because a puppet is something that can be manipulated. And I think if you're grateful for the job, it means you're happy to work with Wilcox and Berarda in the interview, doesn't it? Whereas I think that if you're Enrique or maybe even Tuchel or Nagelsmann or Emery, you're going to go, well, I like the job, but I don't like you. And I think that will rule them out ultimately. So, yeah, look, Enrique might sign a new contract at PSG. There's a very big chance of that, I suppose. But is he a realistic choice for Manchester United? I mean, are we just being spun? Yeah, there's going to be a big recruitment of a manager and we're going to interview loads of people. But we're not stupid. We get lied to all the time by this board. They'll tell us we're going to do this, this and this. And then we already know they won't do it. They're not going to get Luis Enrique. It's not going to happen. They're not going to get a manager of that magnitude. They're going to go for a coach that they can manipulate that wipes Wilcox's arse in the interview. I mean, basically, that's going to be it, isn't it? Who kisses Wilcox's arse in the interview will get the job. It won't be the person that says, I don't think you're good enough. And if I'm here, he needs to go. They won't do that. But that's probably the best person for the job. So, and it's the same with transfers. It's like Patrick said. We're after Wharton, we're after Belaba, we're after Anderson. Sometimes I think, well, if we were really after them, why would we put it out there publicly? What's the benefit of Man United putting it out there for 9 months that they want Anderson, Wharton and Belaba? If I'm Wharton, I'm like, well, where am I? Do they want Anderson more than me? I'm a backup plan. If I'm Anderson, I'm thinking the same. Why would we put that out there publicly? What is the benefit of Man United putting it out there that they want Anderson, Belaba and Wharton, apart from clicks and social media interaction, which they're very big on? Why would you put it out there? Why would you not be like, we're going to go big in the summer, that's it? Why would you tell the world what you're trying to do? Because a lot of it is marketing and spin and PR and hype, and they play that game very, very well. And I wouldn't be surprised if the manager thing ends up being like that. Oh, yeah, we're going to do a really wide search for the best-in-class manager. Well, you're not, are you? You're not going to go for the best-in-class manager because the best-in-class manager is not going to work under you. So you're not going to interview him, are you? So you're not going best-in-class. I reckon keeping Bruno would also give an edge, bringing in a new centre midfielder and a manager. New contract ASAP, protect his value, no brainer, says Paddy Boy. Well, yeah, I mean, look, some people get a little bit frenetic about giving Bruno a new contract. He's on 300 grand a week at the moment. He'll be offered ridiculous money in Saudi. If he fancies Saudi for money, you'd be foolish not to say, here's a little bit more money, would you stay here? We can't offer you that, but do you want to stay here? There are some elements of our fan base that are just obsessed with the wage bill. And I always say, why? Why would it matter if Man United gave somebody £500,000 to you a week? Why? Does it make any difference to you if United spend ridiculous wages on top quality players? Why does it matter? Man City apparently have, I don't know whether it's true, Gehi's on like 250 grand a week or something like that as a centre-back from Crystal Palace. We'd be losing our shit if we did that, and I don't know why. I don't know why you'd lose your shit. We need the best players at Manchester United, and Bruno Fernandes puts in ridiculous numbers and may well be irreplaceable. And we're about to go into a massive season next year where hopefully we've got Champions League football and people are like, let him go. Might not be easy. And also, giving Bruno 400 grand a week or 350 grand a week when he's already on 300 grand a week, that works out at, well, let's say we give Bruno 400 grand a week, right? That's 100 grand a week more. 5.2 million. 5.2 million a year, that is. to increase him from 300 grand a week to 400 grand a week. 5.2 million. So let's call it five. So to increase Bruno's wage to 400 grand a week, it's going to cost us 5 million a year. 5 million a year. How much is it going to cost to replace him? For two more years at £10 million, I'd do it. And this is why I don't know why our fans get so obsessed with the wage bill. Because I've seen fans on social media going, oh yeah, they've done such a good job, Ineos. We used to have the biggest wage bill in the Premier League and now we're down to fourth. In another year, we'll be down to fifth. And I'm like, yeah. The wage bill league does have a correlation with the actual league, you know. If you spend big money on big players, you will be a better team. Our problem was we paid ridiculous money for shite, you know. So I don't know. Look, for me, I've always said if Bruno Fernandes is playing as a number 10, keep him. If he's playing as a midfield, sell him. And for me, if Bruno comes along and says, I will stay for two more years if you knock my wage up to here and you can lock him in for 2 years, well, I know I'm guaranteed to get a certain level of performance for 2 years. Class of 99 says, what's the point of bringing someone that won't align with our structure? That's just inviting more drama and delaying the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Says Class of 99. I don't know delaying the inevitable. What? I don't know what that means. I mean, I understand what you're saying about bringing someone in that doesn't align with our structure, but our structure is oblivion, in my opinion. You can align a manager with our structure, but our structure's shit. So what are we delaying? I think this structure of Wilcox, Berardi, Sir Jim Radcliffe over the next 5 years is going to sink the club. So why would I be on board with them recruiting a manager that suits their system? I would shout for something that doesn't, because that might be the only thing. If the midfield goes bad again, will Carrick come down to the pitch as a player to help out the team like Giggs that one time against Hull? Says Rays. Don't remember that. I reckon keep it. I've done that one from Paddy. If we sign Belabor and not Anderson, what other DM would you like to cover AFCON? I could be wrong, but I don't see Wharton as a truly defensive player, says Bradley. I don't think Wharton is a six. I think Wharton's more of an eight, isn't he? He's not a six. I don't think Belabor is specifically a six. I think he's good at carrying the ball. It's interesting. You make a great point about the profile of our midfield. Very good point, actually. In the Amrim system of a midfield pivot, you share the load. You could play Belabor and Anderson because you share the load. One goes forward, one sits back, blah, blah, blah. In a midfield three, you have a 10, an 8 and a 6. You have a sitter, a box-to-box and an attacking midfielder. Casemiro is definitely a 6. Agate is arguably a 6. With them gone, you need a specific six. Well, we know Mainoo's not a six. We know Bruno's not a six. Is Anderson best utilised as a six? I'd argue he does his best work in an eight. So who's the specialist number six we're going to bring in? Or are we going to have to adapt our midfield? Good point. Talks of Emery going to Real Madrid. Could he come to United? Says J32. I mean, if you're Unai Emery, you're living the dream at Aston Villa. And then you get offered the Man United job and the Real Madrid job. I guess I'm off to Spain. Arriba España. Yeah, I mean, I'd take Real Madrid over Man United. I mean, it's a tough job, but yeah, you'd take Real Madrid, wouldn't you? It's an easier job than Man United. Thank you so much. Let me have a look at some of your comments. Someone just said there's some news. Oh, Xerxy. Bloody hell. Sorry. There is some news. It's Xerxy. So Fenerbahce have added Man United's Joshua Xerxy to their list. Fenerbahce wants to loan the Dutch forward and contacts with Man United could begin soon. So, yeah. I mean, look, it's crazy, isn't it, really? And I must apologise for this. It's what the... We've got it's the 29th of January. We've got Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So we've got 4 days left of this transfer window. And we've just spent 45 minutes of a news show not talking about a January signing. So they've done it again, haven't they? They've managed to navigate January without signings. And look, I will say this. If Ruben Amorim hadn't been sacked, imagine the pressure on that protest on Sunday. If Amorim hadn't been sacked, that protest on Sunday would have been huge because they've not signed any players. We probably wouldn't have beaten Arsenal and Man City. Maybe we would, maybe we wouldn't, but whatever. It would have been all because of the sacking and the interim and the interviews and the Ollie and the Carrick, it ate up a large amount of January. And they've got away with it. They've got away with it because there's been loads of other things to distract us away from the fact that they've done nothing in this January transfer window, nothing. And if you'd said to me in October, November, December that we would do nothing in the January transfer window, I would have said, you're having a laugh. And if somebody said to me, but we would be fourth at the end of January, I'd still say you're having a laugh. This is not about necessarily improving the team to get the Champions League now, which would be helpful, and it's still up for grabs. It's also about utilising the window in the way that Man City do, where you buy players in for next season in January so that you don't have to do loads in the summer and you can integrate them. I think that's the one that people miss. It's not just about... I mean, I'm not happy that we've been talking to Loftus-Cheek or Ndidi. They're stopgaps. What I wanted was genuine progress in a transfer window that a lot of clubs use for that purpose. We treat January like teams treated January 10 years ago. Oh, it's panic buy. It's not panic buy. You can bring players in and halve your load in the summer. If we need six players in the summer, you could bring one or two in now and make your job in the summer easier. And we never do that. And there are players that we could go for now and not wait till the summer. And you can't use the financial argument because we know we've got the money. So it is ridiculous that we've not done something in January and we're pinning it all on the summer. And what worries me about that is it's a World Cup summer. You walk into it going, we want Anderson, we want Wharton, we want Belaba, right? And you don't get anything else. And you might not get them. But you go, well, that's what we wanted, but we didn't get it. And all the August transfer window's closed now. And you're sort of like left there again going, another shit window. Maynou be better than Belaba this season, says Brickster. Amit's gifted 10 memberships as well. Thank you very much. But yeah, look, in relation to Xerxes, look, I don't know. I don't know. Would you move Xerxes off now? Look, I'll give you the honest answer about Xerxes. Xerxes deserves to go. 100%. He deserves to go because he hasn't had the chance to play. And the Dutch squad isn't particularly good. So if he went and played for 4 months in the Italian league and scored goals, he'd probably go to the World Cup. If he stays at Man United, he's not going to the World Cup. So put yourself in Xerxes' shoes. You probably would want to go and play in the World Cup. Right, I've got to go. Thanks everyone for watching. I'll speak to you in a bit. Smash a like on video.